you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy. He alone is the reason we come together, the reason we make this broadcast. So still with me from Florida, Brother Kevin. Good morning to you, brother.
Good morning, sir, Major Carriger.
I hope life is treating you well down there in Florida.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. My back's a little sore because we were out. We've worked with several hundred chairs and about 100 tables. They're getting ready for their Easter services, and it's going to be outdoor stuff. So big breakfast. The pastor's like, you can come here and eat breakfast and stuff with us because my motorhome's parked here. And I said, I don't have another meeting that morning. I said, if you got breakfast, I probably don't have to pray about it, brother. And he just laughed. So it's a great spot to stay. They've been very gracious. God's been very gracious.
Yeah, that's great, man. Hey, folks, as we go along, so yesterday I kind of goofed up verses and miracle I was on. We kind of covered another miracle instead of the other miracle, but that's cool. We're just going to keep on going, folks. We do find ourselves in the curing of the paralytic right now over in Matthew 9, 1 through 8. Before we get going, I want to name this particular episode honoring God, bringing glory to God, glorifying God, honoring to God. Remember, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So if Brother Kevin's down there in that church having breakfast, he's doing all to the glory of God. So we expect him to make two trips through that line, praise God. The Bible reminds us in 1 Corinthians 6, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, and honor the Lord with thy substance, it tells us over in Proverbs 3:9, and with the first fruits of thine increase, over and over again throughout the Bible. Probably more verses came up when bringing up glorifying or honoring God today in my search window in my Bible program than any other thing I've ever looked up. And so it's so important, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. I really like those people who God is doing a wonderful work through, and they constantly acknowledge God. I like the one that long ago, I was talking to a guy just yesterday. Actually, he's down in Florida as well, working with a church. And 15 times when he was giving me a briefing of what he's done since our last conversation a month ago, I counted 15 times he glorified God during the conversation. Said, if not by the grace of God, I wouldn't have been able to do this. If not by God, I don't owe anything. I don't, you know, God has seen to every one of my needs. And we used to memorize a verse in our family years ago, and over in Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. Folks, bring glory to God. We're going to see the healing of paralytic here in a few minutes, but bring honor to God through all you said, whatever you do in word or deed, and give it to God. God alone decides our outcome, Brother Kevin.
Yes, sir. Well, the word glory, glorify, that's, as a young Christian, I remember I heard a definition that the glory of God means the manifestation of who he is. And so giving glory to him means manifesting it, making it known. The word magnifying God comes to mind. In fact, if I could put a word picture to the whole thing, it means to turn the magnifying glass on God, or to go around with binoculars toward God, and so that people can look and see him. You're magnifying him. And by the way, when we magnify God, when we make much of Jesus Christ, God will make much of our ministry. God will make much of our efforts. That's just the way it works. And I just so love being a part of this ministry with you, Brother Doug, because we were talking during before we started this episode that there was, you know, a contact with someone up in North Carolina. And he just, you know, I mentioned to him, to that other pastor in a text that I'm here helping with Doug. He said, yeah, so on the a prayer letter or something on the wall of another church that I do work with Brother Carriger. And I said, you know, yes, sir. And I just love the ministry of Wounded Spirits because it's designed to give glory to God. You know, too often, I think, people turn the binoculars backwards. You know, when the binoculars backwards, in other words, look at me, look at me, look at me. You know what happens when you look through binoculars or a telescope backward? All of a sudden, what looks, if you look through it backward, you see things small. Okay, bottom line, you look through the big end, you're going to see something real small on the other end. So when we try to bring glory to ourselves, people are seeing Jesus Christ small and insignificant. But when we give glory to God, then people see us as insignificant. And the reality is, there's, and I believe this, it's not easy to live by, but there's no limit to the good that can be done by someone who does not care who gets the credit. And add to that someone that wants to give God the credit. And so I was just texting some of my children this morning, and the, you know, they're different stages, different levels of spirituality. You know, it's just the way we all are. And I wanted to make sure I glorified God in a certain group chat because I wanted people just to know that it's about Him. He's the only one. When you got a problem, He's the only one that can help you. He's the one that fixes things. He's the one that understands. He's the one with the big heart. He's the guy with the big heart in the room. And but He doesn't magnify Himself. He gives us the binoculars and says, are you going to magnify you, us, myself? Or am I going to turn the binoculars the other way and say, hey, everybody, look through this. Look at this God, like you said, the guy you talked to that glorified God all those times on the phone. That's, we all have a set of binoculars, Doug, and yeah. The binoculars can either be turned toward us and making God small or the other way around.
Wow, that's so good. And, you know, brother, I couldn't help but think of Earl Cannon. I heard his story. Pastor Earl Cannon pastored the Vernon Baptist Church in Chicago, Illinois. And Pastor Earl Cannon and his church, they spent a year getting permits and putting together. They wanted to do a non-denominational parade through Chicago, right down Main Street, for those who wanted to honor God. So by the time it came, they had raised money. They put everything together, and they literally hired 214 police officers. They expected 15,000 people to march. Look this up. It'll mess you up, folks. The only people to show up to bring honor to God in that parade in Chicago, Illinois, was Pastor Cannon and 214 police officers. You know, we get so far away. We get so far away from bringing honor and glory to God. And we as a nation, you know, it starts individually. It starts with when Kevin sends a text message, a group text message, and say, you know, let's praise God or let's all go to God. It starts individually. But before you know it, a city of millions of people, at that time the second largest city in the United States, couldn't garner a second person to walk with Pastor Cannon down the street to bring honor to God. 214 police officers to shut down roads. 214 police officers to handle the crowd. 214 police officers to make sure there were enough refreshments. 214 police officers. Say, well, Brother Doug, what are you getting at? You know, can you imagine? Can you imagine that we live in a world where an entire city the size of Chicago, all those churches, and one person shows up? And we've got a responsibility to bring glory and honor to God. we've got a responsibility to continue that on. That's what we're doing. We're doing a verse-by-verse study as we continue on, looking at the life of Christ. We're looking at all things Christ and what he's doing. We're looking at the miracles. You want to make sure you come back tomorrow, Thursday, and persistent faith. And we're going to be studying bold faith on Friday. And you want to make sure and be part of these miracles. These miracles are part of our fiber, Kevin. They're part of our fiber.
Yeah. But yeah, it's ingrained in us to give glory to someone. And it says most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. And, you know, it's just natural to boast. It's natural to pride, to have pride. I have the same struggle, Doug. You mentioned that was your struggle the other day. But yeah, I got the same, you know, we want credit. We put effort into it. And it's the hardest, one of the hardest trials of life is to do something and not get the credit and have someone else get the credit. But boy, that's God's way of making sure we're ready to give credit to God.
And remember, yeah, with your bodies, folks, know ye not that ye are a temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Folks, as we get ready to let the radio stations do what they have to do, let's bring glory to God. Let's make sure if there's a parade in our town, we're there. We'll be right back.
Return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
I love that we continue looking at these miracles, and we are looking at the miracle of the paralytic, which I messed up yesterday. But we see over here in Matthew 9, 1 through 8, and he entered into the ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy. And remember talking about palsy? It's a thing that would take over your body and paralyze you. And it gets to the point where you lose your legs, maybe one side of your body, your arms. I did a lot of reading on it, but essentially at the end of the palsy, you just stop breathing. Your body just can't work. You just stop breathing. And the sad thing, this isn't Alzheimer's where you're forgetting that you're supposed to breathe. This is actually going on while your brain is working 100%. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, Arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man have power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Right away in my mind, okay? This miracle, right away in my mind, says I better hang around with friends who are willing to lift me up and carry me to the Lord. I better hang around with friends who can be found on their knees praying for me. The friends I have need to be godly people. I want friends like this sick guy had. I want people in my life who care as much about me as this sick guy had people caring for him. And then you got, you know, there's always the knuckleheads. There's always the people thinking in their hearts that this guy who just healed someone's not knowing what we're thinking in our hearts. Can I tell you something, friends? We can't hide anything from God. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what's in our minds. He knows it's not Santa Claus who knows these things. It's just God. And so I think a couple things, again, we got to ponder again, right? He alone, the authority to forgive us, the demonstration of faith. Hey, this guy believed, his friends believed. What a demonstration of faith. And again, the marveling multitudes. But this is what I'm thinking. And I wrote down a few things. I've been trying to do that for the last couple weeks, to write down an application. And that's probably why I messed up yesterday on the miracle I was at. I was writing down an application when Kevin was speaking, and he did such a good job that I forgot where I was. But the application, faith in action, like the friends of this paralyzed guy, Folks, you need to demonstrate your faith by bringing others to Jesus. That's an application that we all need to do. Bring others, invite people. That person that makes your chai tea latte with an extra squirt of chai and no water, that person that you see at the gym, that person you see at the grocery store, that person you call on the phone, those people you're working with. And you got to believe in Jesus' authority every day, all the time. Be trusting in Christ's authority and be guarding yourself against unbelief. Folks, it can happen to the best of us. I told you last week that there's nothing special about Kevin and I. We just have a call from God on our lives. We still have to guard against unbelief just like you. If we're not careful, if we're not praying, if we're not reading our Bibles, we can wake up skeptical. We can wake up with unbelief. We can be like the scribes. But most importantly, folks, as I pass this to Kevin with the application, bring glory to God. Glorify God for all the things he's done in your life, the things he'll do in your life, the things he's doing right now in your life. Bring glory to God in his wondrous deeds.
Yeah, that's so good. And the multitude that watched the paralytic man, the man with the palsy. I like what you said I didn't really realize it, but that is the case so often. This is not just a paralysis necessarily that just leaves you in one spot and you're on a plateau, like sometimes can happen with a stroke victim, where you just lose use of something and then you stay at that level. It's a degenerative thing. And then you die. And that's grievous. And so this crowd that knew this guy was on this decline, no doubt, they glorified God because Jesus Christ was God and showed up and did what only God can do. And he took away the paralysis. And, Doug, so many people get paralyzed, but it's a declining thing. I'm talking about emotionally paralyzed. I was out here today working this morning with this church. I just like to work at churches that I'm at if I can. If I see my coaches parked, usually in a parking lot out somewhere behind a church. And so guys get out there and they're working. And I saw the pastor and some people working. So I went out and worked with them. And it's physical labor. And they're moving a whole bunch of stuff. And then we end up pressure washing. It was just a great time, great fellowship. And as always, I made, just some new friends. And the guy I work with closest out there is a Gold Star dad, Doug. He lost a son, and he lost his son to suicide, but he lost his son active duty on suicide. And he had been downrange, and I didn't get all the details, but the guy's just, he's one of these guys. And they just had the anniversary of the loss of his son, I think yesterday or something like that. And it was grievous. And, but the guy's serving God. He's serving God. And I'm just sorry. I didn't try to dump on him. I didn't try to enter into his grief and sorrow. But I just let him know, I'm with you. I understand that I can't understand. Mm. And I parked my mouth at the gate and just turned on the ears and let him talk if he wanted to. So we had a good talk and we worked together for a couple hours. But, the sad thing is suicide is oftentimes a result of a spiritual and emotional paralysis that's degrading. In other words, something got permanently damaged and you're no longer functioning like you used to. You're paralyzed. You saw some buddies die. You lost a spouse. Your spouse left you. You witnessed somebody die. You were abused. Maybe it's some kind of an escalating abuse, some kind of accumulating deal. And some of you I know that are listening have been through just stair-stepping, climbing up of abuse. And as it went up, perhaps you went down in your paralysis. And I'm a friend of someone who's the longest surviving ALS patient in the country. Wow. And he has Lou Gehrig's disease, and he had it back in the 90s. He's still going, last I heard. And I see him every time I go to this one church, but he's going on for God. And, you know, Jesus here healed a paralyzed man. And we say, it's wonderful. But you know what? How much even more wonderful that if God decides to let you suffer a while, like the Bible says, after that you've suffered a while, that you get healed from your emotional paralysis and spiritual paralysis, because that's the main thing that Jesus is interested in, that you can continue and not have to go down until you hurt yourself or hurt someone else, Doug.
Man, that's good. I'm reminded, brother, when I was on deputation, I went to a church and there was an ambulance out front. And when I got inside, I ran to the pastor's office, said, "Pastor, is everything all right?" Oh, he said, "Oh, they're just bringing Hank." And, I remember I got up there and preached that night, and there was a man in the back row. It was a small church. It was like Bible Baptist of Mount Vernon or Mount Vernon Baptist Church. You could see Three River Stadium and stuff from there. This is many years ago. Well, anyway, This guy's falling asleep on the back row, waking up once in a while, having a tough time on oxygen. And I remember as soon as I got done preaching, he came up to me and he said, "All the glory goes to God, another night. I got to hear God's word one more time." He went out and got in that ambulance at 12:01 a.m. the next morning. He was face to face with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bring glory. Bring glory to God every chance you get. You may not have another one. Hey, wear that smile today that only God can give you. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name, while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.